Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, March 29th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Report. Rent, $1,000 below state average. Website calls Midland a kid-friendly choice with ample job opportunities. By Stuart Doreen. The average monthly rent of a two-bedroom apartment makes Midland one of the cheapest places to live in Texas, according to apartmentlist.com. The online apartment guide reported last week Midland's average rent, $837, trails only Odessa, $693.33. Other cities to make the top five were Beaumont, $913.33, Lubbock, $932, and Bryan, $987. The only other West Texas communities in the top 10 were El Paso, 9th, $1,095.67, and San Angelo, 10th, $1,096.33. ApartmentList.com stated in the report 10 Cheapest Places to Live in Texas 2022 that the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in Texas is $1,933.94. That means the average in Midland is more than $1,000 below the state average. The report showed Midland's rent change in the past year was 3.55%, and the local median household income is $79,421. In Odessa, there was a minus 0.81% rent change and median household income of $63,847. In the report, ApartmentList.com included the following about Midland. People move to Midland for job opportunities in petroleum at a reasonable cost of living. Plus, it's a wonderfully kid-friendly choice for families. The city boasts a relatively young vibe, with the median age at 32. The area is also home to Midland College and draws college students to its professional pilot training program and a degree in applied technology. Midland's economy is strong, with the most significant opportunities in oil and gas. The city is also home to the Bush dynasty. Retail, healthcare, education, and construction are also big employers around Midland. Downtown is known as the Tall City, with a handful of tall buildings welcoming the workforce, but the oil bust in the 80s scrapped plans to expand its sky-high presence. ApartmentList.com included the following about Odessa. Newcomers settle in Odessa for its stable job market, energy industries, and nearby universities and colleges. Odessa is home to the University of Texas of the Permian Basin, Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, and Odessa College. The median age in Odessa is 31 years old, making it an ideal location for young professionals and families. College students looking to expand their academic horizons are also welcome. Energy is a big industrial player in Odessa, though oil and gas make up the backbone of Odessa's economy. The surrounding Permian Basin is the number one producer in the U.S. Retail and grocery, construction, and service industries like restaurants are also vital employers in the region. With such a low cost of living, no personal income taxes, Odessa is also a great place to start a small business. This article is entitled, County Approves 90-Day Burn Ban. Index score indicates drought-stricken area at risk for intense fires. By Stuart Doreen. Midland County Commissioners approved a 90-day burn ban at Monday's meeting of the Commissioners' Court. Last week, the Keech-Byram Drought Index, which is used to determine forest fire potential, hit 575. As of Sunday, the index showed an average of 579 in Midland County, which was 6 points higher than the March 21st score. Midland County Fire Marshal Justin Bunch has told the Reporter Telegram the county will not enact a burn ban until our KBI is at or above 575. The drought index is based on a daily water balance, where a drought factor is balanced with precipitation and soil moisture, assumed to have a maximum storage capacity of 8 inches, and is expressed in hundredths of an inch of soil moisture depletion, according to the Texas Weather Connection website at Texas A&M University. The max index score inside Midland County was 633. The KBDI measurement guide states the score between 600 and 800 is often associated with more severe drought with increased wildfire occurrence. Intense, deep-burning fires with extreme intensities can be expected. Live fuels can also be expected to burn actively at these levels. The National Weather Service reports that there has been 1.3 inches of rain since August. That includes no rain this month. Should there be 0.00 inches at the end of March, it would mark the second time in Midland history the city went without at least trace rainfall. The other year was 1946. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows conditions in the area, including Midland-Odessa, are the worst on its scale for intensity and impact. The U.S. Monthly Drought Outlook calls for drought conditions to persist. That forecast is consistent with the U.S. Seasonal Drought Outlook. Midland, Ector, and Upton counties are completely surrounded by counties with burn bans in place, according to the Texas A&M Forest Service website. This article is entitled, Dr. Carson's Message Leaves Lasting Impression on MCS, by Morgan Schoening, Midland Christian. On Monday, Dr. Ben Carson spoke to Midland Christian School. As a student at MCS, I was excited to listen to such an esteemed guest speaker. As excited as I was, my expectations for Dr. Carson's message paled in comparison to what was actually received by myself, the student body, the faculty, and everyone in attendance. Dr. Ben Carson is a true American. He is the embodiment of the American dream, hard work, grit, and faith. He spoke first to the entirety of students who attend MCS. His wife and he read his new book titled, Why America Matters. The book told of how important our country is and why we should care. It was very beneficial for the elementary students, and the messages entailed in the story were especially advantageous because of the dissension that occurs today and the constant disapproval and disrespectful words about our country thrown so carelessly about. Dr. Carson spoke of the brilliance of our brains and how excellent the intricacies and minuscule details God created within them. He told about the brain capacities that we all have and how amazing they truly are. The stories he told were enthralling. His eloquence was in abundance, and he intertwined lessons with storytelling beautifully. I was astounded to hear his story and how the Lord has worked in his life. He came from a low socioeconomic town with severely slim odds of success in his life. Although his mother had only a third-grade education, she instilled in her son an importance of knowledge, perseverance, and wisdom. Dr. Carson told of how his mother worked intensely, striving never to rely on welfare. This is very admirable. Now, being on welfare and having government aid is something very common. It is not seen as the easy way out, instead of diligent hard work, but instead a necessity that the government is required to provide. The American dream is possible, but laziness and entitlement have spread like wildfire across the nation, specifically in the younger generations. Excuses are constantly and consistently made, and the blame is placed on everyone except for your specific person. However, Dr. Carson combated this ideology by saying that the thing or person that has the capability to have the most impact on you or your life is you. He spoke of how you are the only person who can ultimately help or hurt yourself, and that if you want something, you have to work to go get it. He also talked about founding the American Cornerstone Institute and the four pillars that it supposes. These pillars are faith, a love of freedom and liberty, community, and a love of all life. Faith is the foundation of the United States. Dr. Carson talked about this story of Bulletproof Washington and how it includes the saving of George Washington because of the Lord's protection. This story has been taken out of history because of the politically correct nature of the media today. This is a saddening story because, in an effort to appeal to everyone and be correct, we are erasing our history and attempting to abolish our Creator. He talked next about the pillar of liberty, freedom, and certain unalienable rights endowed by our Creator. There has been a diminishment of the freedom of speech and active conversations. Dr. Carson talked about how we should be allowed to disagree with one another, because we are a diverse nation with the gracious ability to have different opinions, views, and suppositions. Instead, some have the chance of being canceled if they do not comply and believe what the loud majority does. This creates a society of division and an inability to express our feelings and beliefs. Dr. Carson also posed the question that if big tech and media are filtering and limiting what is said or posted, and the government is doing nothing to stop this, then they are opposing the First Amendment right of freedom of speech. There is a new culture that is suppressing freedom of speech with woke culture and cancellations. This is a direct contraindication to the ideals that America was founded on, with the inclusion and permission of all thoughts, opinions, and speech. Dr. Carson is a patriotic man who does not condone this change in the structural integrity of the ideals of America. The next pillar is community. Dr. Carson spoke of the importance of community and unity, which are very vulnerable in our country today. The last pillar is the love of all life. He spoke of the love of life from womb to tomb, and how we should love all people. Dr. Carson's words were very appreciated, and his message left a deep, lasting impression on us. This is the news page. This article is entitled Report, 43 Earthquakes Rumble Region Last Week, by Stuart Doreen. There have been 43 earthquakes near Mentone in the last week, including 7 during a 15-hour period from Saturday evening to Sunday morning, according to EarthquakeTrack.com. The website reported Sunday that seismic activity is ramping back up as more than 57% of the quakes in the past month have happened in the last week. The general location of most of the activity is west of Mentone, which is located in Loving County and more than 90 miles west of Midland. The 7 quakes from early Saturday evening through Sunday morning included a 3.8 magnitude quake, which took place at 1:18 a.m., around 23 miles west-southwest of Mentone, and at a depth of 4.34 miles. In March, the Reporter-Telegram reported Permian Basin oil and gas operators have teamed up with the Railroad Commission in crafting a plan to address the growing rate and intensity of seismicity in the region. the first-of-its-kind operator-led response plan was being implemented by the Commission in its northern Culberson Reeves seismic response area. The plan has a goal of reducing the intensity and frequency of earthquakes, including eliminating 3.5 magnitude or greater earthquakes by the end of 2023. This article is entitled 15-year-old motorcyclist dies in crash in Odessa, by the Reporter-Telegram. A 15-year-old died Saturday evening in Odessa after trying to pass a vehicle on his motorcycle, according to Department of Public Safety officials. DPS reported the 15-year-old Odessan was traveling south behind a Chevrolet Malibu around 8:47 p.m. on Westcliff Road. As both vehicles were approaching Westfield Drive, the 15-year-old on the 1991 Kawasaki 250 attempted to pass the Malibu on the left. At that time, the driver of the Malibu attempted to turn left onto Westfield Drive. The name of the 15-year-old was not released. He was pronounced dead at the scene. He was wearing a helmet, according to DPS. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, March 29th. Death notices. Bernardo Porras. Bernardo Porras, 87, of Midland, passed away Friday, March 25th. Viewing will take place from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., March 28th, at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Evening prayer service will be held at 7 p.m. during viewing. Funeral service will be March 29th at 10 a.m. at Church of Christ, 1501 East Cherry Lane, Midland. Burial service will follow at Serenity Memorial Garden. Arrangements were made with Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Gilberto Adame Lopez. Gilberto Adame Lopez, 33, of Midland, passed away March 28th. Visitation will be on Wednesday, March 30th, from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral Mass will take place on Thursday, March 31st, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Imogene Burrow. Imogene Burrow of Midland died March 24th in Midland. Funeral service will be held on Wednesday, March 30th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Jesus Grado. Jesus Jose Grado, 85, of Midland, passed away March 27th. Viewing will be from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, March 30th, with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. Wednesday evening at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Funeral Mass is set for Thursday, March 31st, at 1 p.m. at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. Law is clear on hit and runs in Texas. Last week, Michael Joe King died after Odessa police said a woman struck him with her car on 42nd Street and fled the scene. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan said roughly 40 people have died in Ector County over the last 3 years under similar circumstances. The law under Texas's transportation code is clear. After an accident occurs, drivers must immediately stop at the scene or as close to it as possible, and they must return to the scene immediately if they haven't stopped. It goes one step further, too, Gallivan said. It's your obligation to get them some kind of assistance if they're injured. That could be you calling 911, or if you're trained, that could be you administering first aid. Whatever it might be, Gallivan said, if I don't have first aid training or any sort of extra training, I can fulfill my obligation by just picking up the phone. People who don't stay at accidents involving death could receive from 2 to 20 years in prison. Those who flee scenes involving serious bodily injuries face 2 to 10 years in prison, according to the code. Every case is handled based on its own merits, Gallivan said. If somebody hits a pedestrian and then flees to Mexico versus they hit a pedestrian, freak out, leave, or come back to the scene and tell police what happens, those are two different scenarios, Gallivan said. Gallivan said, sadly, those statistics don't include the folks who have died as a result of intoxication, manslaughter, drag racing, or people who cause accidents while evading police. As for why people run, Gallivan said, it's anyone's guess. Could be they're just scared. They just hit somebody. They're scared they caused an accident. It could be they're high, they're drunk, they were texting at the time. Who knows, Gallivan said. I can't speak for legislature, but my presumption is that's why they made leaving the scene a felony, because why would you leave if you weren't hiding something? Odessa defense attorney Bobby Bland said, for years people fled the scenes of accidents because they realized law enforcement officers would have difficulty proving they were under the influence of drugs or alcohol if they could delay their arrest until some substances had left their bodies. However, the Texas legislature has been attempting to close the gap for the last several years. In 2013, the state elevated the crime of failure to stop and render aid to the same level as intoxication manslaughter. Then, in 2019, a new law created a mandatory minimum 120-day prison sentence for anyone who receives probation for failing to stop and render aid in cases that result in someone's death. Bland, who spent 15 years as district attorney, said the smart thing is always to remain at the scene of accidents, especially if they're relatively minor accidents. If you flee the scene, you can take what could have been a traffic ticket and turn it into a felony, Bland said. You don't have to answer the officer's questions. You have the right to remain silent, and you can ask for a lawyer. According to the Transportation Code, if you're in an accident and you cause damage to another vehicle, you're facing a Class B or Class C misdemeanor, depending upon the damage. You're required to provide your name and address to the other driver. If the vehicle is unattended, according to the code, you're required to either locate the operator of the vehicle, or you're required to leave that information in a conspicuous place along with a statement of the circumstances of the collision. Creating Caniacs, Raising Cane's opens Tuesday in Odessa. The wait is over. Raising Cane's first Odessa location will open its doors for business at 10 a.m. Tuesday with a ribbon-cutting celebration beforehand at 9:30 a.m. The popular chain's Odessa location on 42nd Street near Target will feature an all-new look for the famous chicken spot, as well as the largest kitchen in the chain. Prior to the ribbon-cutting ceremony, Raising Cane's will accept entries from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. for its Lucky 20 drawing to award 20 customers ages 13 and older free Raising Cane's for a year. Winners will be drawn between 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and must be present to win. The first 100 dine-in customers will also receive a free Cane's t-shirt. In Odessa, there's a huge market for restaurants, especially quick service. Raising Cane's area leader of restaurants, Doug Haley, said, being out here is huge for us. The Midland restaurant has been very successful for Raising Cane's. Because we have a ton of people traveling from Odessa to Midland right now to get their chicken finger fix, coming to Odessa just made sense, Haley said. Haley explained that while the dine-in lobby is smaller than the one in Midland, the kitchen is the largest yet and first of a kind for the company. It's a different prototype, So the Midland restaurant is a different prototype with a larger dining room, Haley said. This one is full dual-line kitchen, and so we've got an 8-bank fryer on one side and a 5-bank fryer on the other side. This is something unique to Texas. First time we've ever built it like this. The dining room is definitely smaller, but it's really built to rock it through in drive-through. Haley added, typically our setup is run through one bank of fryers for drive-through, dine-in, take-out, mobile, all those things right. So now that we're splitting it up, we are going to have an entire bank of fryers dedicated to drive-through, another bank of fryers dedicated to dine-in, which is going to make us more efficient there. The restaurant did expand its seating area by adding seating outside on a patio. We have a multi-lane drive-through that we're really proud of. We've got some additional technology as well that we are really looking forward to bringing to the Odessa community, Haley said. The dual-line kitchen and multi-lane drive-through is going to give the restaurant the ability to serve customers faster and at a much higher volume than the Midland location. We would not be surprised to serve 5,000 to 6,000 daily, Raising Cane's regional leader of restaurants, Jacob Tatum, said. It could be one of our bigger openings in Texas. We have some pretty big ambitions, but we would not be surprised to see it. We look forward to creating more Caniacs. Raising Cane's is still hiring crews and managers, not just for Odessa, but for West Texas and future growth. We are always looking for great people, Haley said. Tatum added, we are super excited to have hired over 200 crew. Midland has been phenomenal for us, but we know we have a unique market here in Odessa. We have a lot of folks who haven't had it yet. We are thrilled to introduce it to them. Casa Bella renovations kick off with group effort, with representatives from Ector County ISD, the City of Odessa, Parks and Recreation Department, City Council, Odessa Parks Foundation, and EZISD Board of Trustees on hand. Ground was broken for the redesigned Casa Bella Park Monday. Casa Bella is located at the corner of University Boulevard and Maple Avenue. Students from the nearby campuses of Burnett and Dowling Elementary were on hand as well because they helped determine what the park is going to look like. They also got to turn the dirt with ceremonial shovels that were almost as big or bigger than they were. It's been a great project for the City of Odessa, for the Odessa Parks Foundation, as well as at ECISD, Patton said. The project is expected to take about 90 days to complete. Brett Felker, chairman of the Odessa Parks Foundation, said the nonprofit organization was established in 1996 to assist in improving the city's park system. The installation of the new playground at Casa Bella Park is a product of the City of Odessa Utility Bill Dollar Donation Program, which was created in 2007. This is the program in which citizens can elect to add $1 to their monthly water bill, and those funds are used for park improvements and enhancements, Felker said. This playground will be the 24th that has been upgraded due to the dollar donation program. The average cost of each playground pipe project in the past has been approximately $180,000 each, which has resulted in a total of $4.3 million in capital improvements to the park system at no additional cost to the taxpayers. The budget for this particular project at Casa Bella is $283,952. The final project is going to be something the community can enjoy and be proud of. And this project has been particularly fun due to the involvement of ECISD students, and the Parks Foundation is glad to be a partner, Felker said. Odessa City Council member Deetra White stood in for the mayor at the ceremony. White said she was excited to see the project begin to come to life and thanked Patton and the Parks Department employees who keep all the parks going. White noted that the students and parents from the two elementary schools helped with the equipment selection process. That is just a gigantic step that Steve Patton has taken to involve our students in what is their part of their city to make it the best that it can be. Not only are you going to enjoy it, but as you get older, your families are going to enjoy it, White said. Superintendent Scott Murray noted that Monday was a wonderful example of how we do this work together. Murray said the district was approached by the Parks Department as part of its 100-year celebration that they could work together to create an opportunity that targets the children and families of Odessa. What a wonderful gift it is from the city of Odessa, from the Parks Department, to recognize the importance and the value of creating spaces in which families and communities can live, work, and play. So today we are really pleased and proud to be a part of this together opportunity because we truly feel that we all do this work together as one big community, city, county, hospitals, and other governmental entities as we come together to make life really fantastic for the families we serve, Murray said. Tommy Hawkins, owner of Hawkins Construction, said it will be about 90 days until the park is complete. They ordered some items in advance, so they are waiting until they get everything before starting. Hawkins said they have done at least half of the parks that have been improved. Edwin Alvidrez, an 11-year-old fifth grader from Dowling Elementary, said it was very fun because they got to learn about a lot of different things. We got to be one of the first to start the park, Alvidrez said. Derry Morales, also an 11-year-old fifth grader at Dowling, said it was just a great experience to enjoy and hear about how much it takes time for people to appreciate something that takes hard work. I think it's a very fun and good experience, Morales said. Angel Guillen, an 11-year-old fifth grader at Dowling, said it was a cool experience because we were able to get out of the classroom. Guillen said it was also neat because they can tell people that they had a role in the renovated park. Quick hits. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR tests drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Linton Midweek Lunch and Service. Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church, 1603 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled Linton Midweek Lunch and Services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays through April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549 or email office@faithfellowshipodessa.org. Permian Basin Fashion Week, meet the designer. Odessa Arts has scheduled Permian Basin Fashion Week. Meet the designer from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday at the Barrel and Derrick Restaurant at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, 305 East 5th Street. Meet Project Runway designer Daniel Esquivel and enjoy an evening of fun and cocktails at PBFW Kickoff Event. The Black and White Ball will feature a black and white collection by Esquivel. Visit odessaarts.org. The Cross Before the Crown, First Baptist Church of Midland, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue, Midland, will present the Cross Before the Crown event from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/YSU7SY7N. Moderna Vaccine Clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 211 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a Moderna Vaccine Clinic from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Thursday. First, second, and booster doses will be available. Visit tinyurl.com/54TSK5SK. Oil and Gas Hiring Event. An oil and gas hiring event has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. more than 40 companies will be hiring on the spot. Job seekers need to bring ID. Register at the door. The event is free and open to the public. For a full list of positions or information, visit PermianBasinHiringEvent.com. Open scholarship application. Permian Basin Area Foundation have announced the 2022-2023 scholarship cycle. Students and counselors will view eligibility and selection criteria for more than 85 scholarships through the application platform Academic Works. Through the PBAF website, pbaf.org, the application deadline is Thursday. The foundation is looking forward to connecting Permian Basin students with local scholarship opportunities here at the foundation, Sherry Heidig, scholarships administrator, said. Applicants are required to complete only one online application, which will then place them in a pool of scholarships for which they may qualify. However, it will be very important to read all instructions because approximately one dozen scholarships are unique in their criteria, with an outside application, a second essay, or a different deadline. Permian Basin Area Foundation awarded more than $1 million in scholarships to area students during the last academic year. These awards are made possible by numerous donors to the foundation's scholarship funds in support of local students pursuing higher education. To learn more about scholarships, grants, and the philanthropic work of donors partnering with PBAF, visit pbaf.org or call 432-617-3213. Western Wonder Art Show and Sale, Raw 1899, 38 North Chadbourne Street, San Angelo, will present Western Wonder Art Show and Sale, featuring the work of Jean N. Cornell, Thursday through April 30th. The opening reception will take place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday. There is no cost to attend. Hours are from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. For more information, call 325-703-6899 or visit raw1899.com. Citizens Police Academy. The Odessa Police Department has scheduled Citizens Police Academy from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday in the OPD classroom, 205 North Grand Avenue. Classes will continue every Thursday thereafter for 12 weeks. National Quilt Month Film Series. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled National Quilt Month Film Series featuring Ken Burns' quilt collection at 6 p.m. Thursday. There will be short videos of famous quilt artists, quilt events, and quilt collections. Admission is free. For more information, visit noelartmuseum.org. Faculty Piano Recital. Odessa College Music Department has scheduled a faculty piano recital at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Jack Rogers Fine Arts Center, 201 West University Boulevard. Gail Mazzell, pianist, Eric Baker, conductor, and the Odessa College Chamber Orchestra are honored to present the world premiere of a new piano concerto by nationally recognized composer Timothy Brown, who will be in attendance at the concert. Bazell will also premiere a solo work for piano. Three OC music students will perform works by Brown on the recital. Admission is free. The McCartney Years. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present the McCartney Years from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday. For more information, visit theector.com. Siren Sound Off for Child Abuse Awareness Month. Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center, United Way, and First Responders will kick off Child Abuse Awareness Month at 10 a.m. Friday. Don't be alarmed, be aware. First responders will be sounding their sirens at 10:40 a.m. to encourage the prevention of child abuse. community members are encouraged to honk their horns and or set an alarm on their cell phone for 10:40 a.m. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club, 1101 Whitaker Avenue, will conclude the month with a party from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. April 30th at the club's parking lot. Visit tinyurl.com/5ay6dyf5. Naming of auditorium field on board agenda. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will consider naming the Blackshear Elementary School Auditorium and Bonham Middle School football field after local legends at their 6 p.m. meeting today. The meeting will be held in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. If approved, the Blackshear Auditorium would be named for Frizella C. Whitaker. Her name would be placed on a sign near or inside of the auditorium. Supplemental agenda material said, the naming policy states that recommended names shall be submitted to a committee. The committee shall be chaired by the superintendent or a designee. The committee shall submit to the board one or more recommended names for each facility to be named, the material detailed. The committee for Blackshear Auditorium included Valley Rivera, chair and members Renee Earls, Marcia Cleaver, Eddie Spivey, and Gilbert Vasquez. Supplemental agenda material said the committee met March 4th and unanimously decided to accept the recommendation to name the Blackshear Elementary School Auditorium after F.C. Whitaker. Whitaker was born in Greenwood, Louisiana. She grew up in Austin and graduated from Samuel Houston University in 1950, now Houston Tillotson University in Austin, the material said. After graduating, Whitaker moved to Odessa to teach at Ector County Independent School District at Blackshear High School, now Blackshear Magnet Elementary. She was a vital part of the Blackshear High School choir. She later taught at Ector Junior High School as an English teacher. She retired from teaching in 1986. In Odessa, Ms. Whitaker has been a sponsor and a board member of Head Start for over 40 years, as well as a board member of the Black Cultural Council of Odessa. She has also been a member of Mackey Chapel of the United Methodist Church, the material said. The Bonham football field, if approved, would be named for J.T. King and his name placed at the bottom of the new scoreboard that was recently installed at the field. The committee for this naming includes co-chairs Tracy Borchardt and Juan Dominguez, and members Renee Earls, David Simpson, Dr. Donald Hembry, Directica Deary, and Melissa Ruiz. The committee met on March 8th and unanimously decided to accept the recommendations to name the Bonham Middle School football field after J.T. King. Coach King was born January 19, 1924, in Tahoka. He graduated from Williams High School in 1941 and attended Texas Tech before marrying the love of his life, Brownie Lancaster, in San Diego, California, on July 22, 1943. He joined the U.S. Marine Corps in 1943, serving in the Pacific Theater and the post-war occupation of China as an exemplary member of the world's greatest generation, the material said. King returned home to graduate from Southwest Texas State in San Marcos under the GI Bill, where he played football and tennis. Upon graduation, he moved his family to Odessa in the late 40s to work for Shell Oil Company. King was then hired by ECISD to coach and teach at Crockett Junior High, thereby fulfilling a lifelong dream and passion, the material stated. He became the head coach at Bonham Junior High in 1959 and spent the next 25 years at Bonham. King's record at Bonham was 150 wins, 43 losses, and 6 ties. At one time, he had a 36-game winning streak and 8 Odessa Midland championships. King was instrumental in the 11 district championships and 3 state championships, won by Permian High School from 1964 to 1980. The material, said he, was also an integral part in the feeder system of many young men who attended not only Permian High School, but Odessa High School. The profound impact of his positive influence will never be forgotten. Coach King officiated many high school playoff and college games after the conclusion of Bonham's football season. T.J. King coached and taught in the community he lived for 33 years before retiring in 1985, the material detailed. King died September 3, 2004. The board will also consider a UTPB STEM Academy performance agreement. The material said, ECISD and UTPB STEM have completed the contract negotiations, allowing UTPB STEM to partner with ECISD beginning July 1, 2022. The board will also consider approving the District of Innovation Plan through spring 2027. House Bill 1842, passed during the 84th legislative session, permits Texas public school districts to become districts of innovation and to obtain exemptions from certain provisions of the Texas Education Code. In the spring of 2017, ECISD Board of Trustees voted to become a district of innovation and adopted an innovation plan to begin with the 2017-2018 school year. The plan submitted terminates at the end of 2021-2022 with the option to include amendments, items to rescind, or to renew, the agenda material said. ECISD followed TEA's process for renewing the District of Innovation Plan, which is up for approval tonight, March 29th. If approved, this new plan will be in place through spring 2027. The board will also consider a resolution to nominate Superintendent Scott Murray as Superintendent of the Year. Each year, the Texas Association of School Boards recognizes a select group of superintendents for exemplary and visionary leadership. One of these administrators will be named the 2022 Superintendent of the Year at the TexEdCon 22 TASA-TASB Convention, the material said. Special presentations at the meeting will include recognition of Odessa Student Crime Stoppers State Board Ambassadors, recognition of nationally certified school nurses, introduction of Scripps National Spelling Bee qualifiers, and announcement of the Student Space Flight Experiments Program SSEP Mission 16 winners. COVID-19 news. By the numbers, Ector County, 37,305 total cases, 699 deaths. Midland County, 39,526 total cases, 495 deaths. Texas, 6,726,810 total cases, 87,036 deaths. U.S. cases, 79,787,583 total confirmed and 974,569 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its inpatient COVID numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Monday. 3 COVID patients in-house, 3 active cases, 1 in 21 days, med-surg non-critical, 3 COVID critical care, 0 COVID patients. 0 unvaccinated, 0 vaccinated, 0 unknown. 0 COVID patients on ventilator, 0 unvaccinated, 0 vaccinated, 0 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients 64 years old to 87 years old. COVID patients from outside Ector County, one from Midland, one from Wink. Odessa Arts launches inaugural Permian Basin Fashion Week. Odessa Arts, in partnership with Sewell BMW, announced via press release the launch of the inaugural Permian Basin Fashion Week. As the Permian Basin continues its expansion, we are becoming more of an urban center for West Texas, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm said. With that distinction comes the opportunity to present events and attractions commensurate with other urban areas. Having our own Fashion Week is just another sign of the positive expansion. Fashion Week will kick off with a welcome reception at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center for designer Daniel Esquivel of Austin. The press release detailed, a well-known figure in the Texas fashion community, Esquivel was a contestant on Project Runway Season 11 and Runway All-Stars Season 3. It's always special when I can come back to the Permian Basin. The people here are incredible and talented, Esquivel stated in the press release. Esquivel has spent the last few weeks creating a 12-look collection that will debut at Odessa Arts Black and White Ball Saturday at the Downtown Marriott Hotel. The event, a fundraiser for Odessa Arts, was completely sold out. The Black and White Ball is designed to showcase and present awards to our Friend of the Arts recipients. This year, we are honoring three extremely deserving awardees, Lisa Noel Wagner, Joanne Davenport Little, and the ECISD Fine Arts Department, Odessa Arts Board President Reverend Don Weeks stated in the press release. Odessa Arts Deputy Director Cindy Graham created the signature event for the organization. Typically, an event of this scale takes about a year to produce. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, our 2020 Black and White Ball was delayed 18 months, giving us only 6 months to put this together. It would not have been possible without the efforts of our staff, our board, and our partnership with the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, Black Tulip Floral Design, and the Sewell family of companies, among others, Graham stated in the press release. Always looking for an opportunity to expand programming, Fashion Week will conclude with a trunk and brunch at Beryl and Derek from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, Hamm stated. The trunk and brunch allows the community to shop local fashion alongside Daniel while enjoying mimosas and the best chicken and waffles in West Texas. Confirmed vendors include Esquivel, who will take orders for custom garments, Exo Bridal, Kirby's Closet, and Candy Drip Customs. Reservations are encouraged. Odessa Arts Permian Basin Fashion Week schedule of events. Meet the designer reception, 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, White Buffalo Bar, Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, 305 East 5th Street, open to public. Model fittings, 6:30 p.m. Thursday, Connection Christian Church of Odessa, 4241 Tanglewood Lane, media only. Black and White Ball, The Arts of Fashion, 6:30 p.m. Saturday, Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, 305 East 5th Street. Sold out trunk brunch, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, Daryl and Derek, Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center, 305 East 5th Street. Reservations required. OPD, ECISD, PD respond to scene at Ector College Prep. There was a large police presence outside Ector College Prep, but no details about why. The investigation is continuing. It occurred about 4:20 p.m. Monday, a news release stated, added that there were no reported injuries. The Odessa Police Department is investigating a shooting in the area of Ada and Hickory. Odessa Police Department and Ector County Independent School District Police Department officers responded to a scene outside of Ector College Prep Middle School after reports of a shooting Monday afternoon in Odessa. Teenage motorcyclist dies in two-vehicle collision. a 15-year-old Odessa motorcyclist, died after he was involved in a two-vehicle collision in West Odessa. The reported fatal collision happened at 8:47 p.m. March 26 near the intersection of North West Cliff Road and West Westfield Drive, a Texas Department of Public Safety press release detailed. DPS said its preliminary investigation showed a 15-year-old boy of Odessa was driving a 1991 Kawasaki 250, while Miguel Angel Guzman, 48, of Odessa was driving a 2014 Chevrolet Malibu. The Kawasaki was following the Malibu as both were traveling southbound on West Cliff Road, approaching the intersection of Westfield Drive, the DPS press release stated. The Malibu attempted to turn left onto Westfield when the Kawasaki attempted to pass on the left. The Kawasaki collided with the Malibu. DPS said the 15-year-old boy was pronounced dead at Ector County Medical Examiner. The 15-year-old was also wearing a helmet. Odessa man on trial in murder. The murder trial of a 41-year-old Odessa man accused of shooting another man to death almost 4 years ago began Monday with his defense attorney telling jurors they had the wrong guy. Rondell Jared Ferris is charged with murder in the July 13, 2018 death of Tereginal White. He's also facing an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon charge and unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon. Assistant Ector County District Attorney Melissa Williams told juries gathered 161st District Court that White and Ferris were at a club when a dispute broke out between their separate groups, and both groups ended up at a convenience store at 8th Street and Highway 80 shortly after 2 a.m. They will see footage from the convenience store that will show one of Ferris's friends run into the convenience store to get Ferris as two men get into a fistfight outside the store, Williams said. The video will show Ferris run out with his hand on his pocket and then draw a firearm, she said. Four shots were fired that night, with one of them fatally striking White in the head, Williams said. The jurors will hear from expert witnesses that Ferris, who is a member of the Crips street gang, was the only person present that was close enough to White to have fired the fatal bullet, Williams said. The other bullets struck a vehicle. The prosecutor told jurors White was captured in California by U.S. Marshals about 4 months after the murder and returned to Odessa. Defense attorney Jeff Nicholson, in a brief opening statement, told jurors the authorities arrested the wrong man. He also assured them he has no intention of attacking or blaming White for his death. Roughly one dozen of White's relatives were in the gallery during openings. The case is being presided over by visiting Judge Rodney Satterwhite.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.